The Bible reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 21, and you can find that on page 938 of the Red Bibles underneath your seats. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Once again, it's great to have everyone here today as we think through and celebrate Easter, and in particular what we've just heard. I'll say a quick prayer and then we'll get started. Father, please help us to understand what we've just read. We believe that you're a living God, a God who speaks, and a God who is active in our world. Please be active in this room and in us as we think through these things now. Amen. As a child growing up, one of my favourite books was this one, The Hungry Little Caterpillar. I used to love this book, and in particular, the pages with the holes in as the caterpillar makes his way through an apple on Monday, two pears on Tuesday, three plums Wednesday, four strawberries on Thursday, and finally five oranges on Friday. This is a great book. And it's a great book as well because it gives us a little bit of a glimpse of Easter. Not just because on Saturday he eats one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream, one pickle, one piece of cheese, one piece of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie, one sausage, one cupcake, and one piece of watermelon. After that, he ends up with a tummy ache and he actually ends up quite fat. And he needs to be able to sleep for a few days. So that might be a little bit like your Easter experience. But that's also not why this book is about Easter. Because this book, as a bit of a surprise at the end, finishes up with this caterpillar being a beautiful butterfly. Now, if you didn't know the life cycle of a caterpillar, this is not how you would expect the story to end. It's a bit of a surprise. And then for adults and for children alike, I think there's a fascination with this storyline as it goes from what is a fat and sleepy caterpillar to being something that is a beautiful butterfly. And I think it captures us because it comes with this idea or this hope that there is a fresh start or a do-over possible to us where life is different than what it is right now. And that's how this story connects us with Easter. As you've heard Laura just read earlier, she said that in Christ we are a new creation, or that a new creation has come. That means that for those who sort of belong to Jesus, that's what that's referring to. It means the old has gone and something new is here in its place. So the one thing I want you to remember this morning is that Jesus' death on the cross and his raising to life 3 days later at Easter, those events of Easter mean a whole new life for you. there's a fresh start. There's a hope for the future. And so this morning I want to unpack a little bit what that means. So the first thing to notice is that Easter is the promise of a fresh start. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly good at drawing. This is my line I've just sort of sketched for you guys this morning. There's times when I do drawings where I really just mess up and I want to screw the thing up, throw it away, and start all over again. There's times when you just want to be able to start again, or that might just be me as drawing, but I suspect it's more than just me. Now, I want you to imagine what it would be like if one of your friends happened to pick up this drawing and decide to put that in the school newsletter with your name on it. Or perhaps if you're a bit older, put that on Facebook with your name on it. Or if you are a lot older, I'm not going to put a number on it, maybe it would have to go in the newspaper with your name on it. Either way, we'd be embarrassed about that probably. We don't like to have people see stuff that's not quite right. We're a bit protective of it. Now, what I want you to imagine, if this is not just a picture of a lion, but if this is a page that has all the marks and smudges and mistakes of your life on it. So perhaps all the times when you argued with your brother, we put some marks on, and there might be a few of those for some of us, I suspect. All the times when you were selfish and you didn't particularly care about other people at all, if we stomped on it and made it a little bit dirty as a result of that. All the times you said to other people, you are not my friend, or that somehow you have broken and wrecked your friendship with other people. All the times you haven't been satisfied with what you have, but have instead wanted more stuff and other stuff. Perhaps all the times when you've made other people sad. We'll draw a couple of sad faces on this piece of paper for all the times when you have made others sad. And then finally, and probably worst of all, for all the times we've ignored God, acted like he doesn't exist, blamed him for things that have happened, and really just not thanked him for giving us life and all the other things that he's given. And that leaves us with some pretty significant marks. It's not a particularly pretty picture at the moment, is it? That line I drew a few minutes ago is looking quite good right now. Now, there might be a whole lot of good things that you do in your life, really nice things. But as you look at this piece of paper, this is a whole lot of stuff you don't want other people necessarily to know about. You feel as though you want to screw it up and chuck it away so that other people do not find out. Now, when I was young, my little brother, when he was 5 years old, Max, the biggest insult he could possibly imagine you could say to someone was to call someone a screwed up paperball. He thought it was really cutting. And so he'd be, you're just a screwed up paperball. Now as you look at this, maybe he's right. It's a pretty significant insult when you consider what's on this piece of paper. Now, we might do a good job of not letting other people find out about this. We might even do a pretty good job of not letting ourselves find out about this or convincing us it's not as bad as it seems. But we do believe that there is a God who knows everything about us, a God who made us for a particular purpose. And so we have to imagine that the things on this page affect something about our relationship with him. Especially those final bits that we drew on there for the things that we ignored God or said about him. And this is where the good news of Easter comes in. If you left your Bibles open, feel free to look at verse 19. If not, I'll read them for you. It says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself. That means bringing people back to himself in Christ, in Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. So the God who sees every little thing that is on this bit of paper didn't put it up on Facebook for everyone else to see. He didn't even hold it against you. He found a way to get rid of the mess. And we read how a couple of verses later in verse 21. It says this, God made him, which is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness or the goodness of God. So Jesus was the only perfectly clean and good human that ever existed. But on the cross, God took him and he wrapped over him all of the mess that we had created. Unpacked it all and wrapped it all over Jesus. Jesus became a screwed up paper ball. All of my mistakes and mess and all of yours were wrapped up in him when he died on the cross. And then they were placed into a tomb. But the news of Easter doesn't finish there. Like our story of the fat, hungry caterpillar in the cocoon, Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose to life again. The tomb opened up, and out of it came Jesus, fully perfect, no longer tarnished, in fact, never to die again. But the news of Easter is not just that that is good news for Jesus, but that's also good news for us. Have a look at verse 17 in our reading. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone belongs to Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All of this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself. There is a new creation. That old screwed up piece of paper has gone. Sin has been dealt with. And in its place, there is something that we could not imagine. Something that comes to us as a gift from God. Like that butterfly that we saw before. Something that is perfect. Something that is clean. And something that death cannot even harm. God has brought us back to himself. Regardless of what it is that you have done, God calls us his friends because of this. Easter promises you a fresh start. Brings us to our second thing to notice today. Easter comes with it a plea. Now, you may have noticed this in verse 17 earlier when we read it out. It contains a big, fat, not a caterpillar, but a big, fat if. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. This new creation, this fresh start stuff is not automatic. It is not given to everyone. And it is only found in Jesus. This fresh start is given to those who know that they are messed up, but yet at the same time believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he took their mess their brokenness and their sin with him. It is given to those who want to put to death their old way of life so that the new way of life can come out. And they want to spend that whole new life following Jesus wholeheartedly. For those people, the Bible promises that the old is gone. It's done away with. Sin is gone. All that mess that you try to hide from other people is taken away. And instead, the new is here. When God looks at you, he sees you as perfectly clean and new. The Bible even uses the language of us being God's friends, or even further, us being God's children, with all the good things and blessings that come from that. Easter truly is good news. Now, Paul goes on in verse 20 to say that those who do believe, who have become this new butterfly-like creation, become God's ambassadors or God's messengers. Have a look at what he writes in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as if God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Now, there are many people in this room who would plead with you today. Come back to God. He makes his appeal to you through us. A couple of verses later, he says that now is the time for God's favor. That now is the day of salvation. We plead with you this morning to investigate this further, to be reconciled with God. If this sounds like something you want to find out more about, please ask someone. Ask the person who brought you along here or one of the helpers downstairs while your children run around crazy looking for Easter eggs. Feel free to come back here at 9:30 on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Or check out that Good Life project that you have flyers for if you want to find out more information. If you like to read, there's even a book in the table on the table out there called A Fresh Start. We'd love to give you a copy of that. Because this stuff is not worth missing out on. It's good news. I was talking to a friend the other day and she mentioned that spring was her favorite season of the year. What is old and dead gives way to what is new and bright and exciting. And one of the interesting things is in the Northern Hemisphere, Easter falls smack in the middle of spring. And to be honest, Easter makes a whole lot more sense in that circumstance because Easter is a season of new life. Easter is a message of hope to a world that is desperately in need of that hope. For those who belong to Jesus, the old and the dead are gone. Sin is taken away. And what remains is a fresh start and a whole new life forever. That's why we here at this church get so excited about Easter. And it is my hope that this year, that truth allows you to get excited about it too. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this good news of Easter, that it offers people like us with a rather marred, dirty and ripped piece of paper to be wiped clean and to get a fresh start. I pray for those who are hearing this and really intrigued about what that means. please help them to seek you out. Please help them to find one of your messengers to be able to tell them more. And please draw them into this wonderful news. Make them a new creation and give them the joy that Easter was supposed to bring. Amen.